cliffcentral.com.
But let's welcome to the studio this morning. He is not only my new business partner with touchcentral.fm, he is the man behind the brand, and he's a man who hasn't been heard on air for almost 2 months. People are hungry. People want to hear from him. And he's here with us this morning. He is T-Bow Touch.
Wow.
How are you, my man? What time did you wake up this morning?
Well, I got up around 6:30 and I got up at 5:30 and we have foot soldiers that came to the office at 6 a.m. to collect all their shirts, caps. They're all over Johannesburg, Durban. They're giving away t-shirts and caps right now, so we had to coordinate
that. Nice.
We had to coordinate cars, and you know, this is what gets me going, and I'm excited, so I don't get up for anything but radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, dude, you haven't been heard from in terms of being on air for like 2 months. How did it go at the end there with Metro? Because
that's first thing first. How you doing, man? It's good to see you. Come on, Gareth.
I've seen you
act like
menace.
This is like I've seen you. I know you were raised well. Gareth, you know what? Shut up. Look at you. Well, it was all a dream.
I've been seeing you every day for the last month.
Yeah, but you know, we've never made contact on air. We're 33,000 feet above sea level.
You know, the funniest thing is, actually, you've never been in the studio with me. I've never been in the studio with
ever,
you before.
Ever.
And we worked right opposite each other.
Yeah.
Look, you were in the afternoons, I was in the mornings.
Sure.
But for, what, 10, 11 years?
10, 11 years. We used to walk past each other. It was like, hey,
did you guys greet each other?
Never shook hands.
Like, I knew who you were, and I would greet you, but I didn't know anything about you.
Right.
And I have to, there are a couple of things we'll cross the T's and dots that you dot the I's on just now, in terms of how we got to know each other and all the rest of it. But,
sure.
But what I was saying a moment ago is you left radio, about 2 months ago.
June 20.
Yeah.
I remember my signature of my resignation letter. I don't remember the date. I'm kidding. It ended with sincerely your boy.
Your boy.
That's
which
timeless.
A lot of people on Twitter are like, this guy, that's is timeless. He serious? That's his resignation letter.
It means I was happy to complete a journey of a good life spent, and you can never discount the opportunity that SABC afforded both Gareth and I. Mm-hmm. You know, we went there and did a good job, and it's a beautiful thing. Everybody should know that they don't have a God-given right to stay in a job forever. If you don't grow, you might as well go. Mm. And I did both.
You grew and you left.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of people get into a relationship and they imagine it's going to last forever, and nothing is forever. Nothing.
No.
Right? So when your relationship is finished, you get divorced or you split up and you move on.
I told Gareth, I just want to make a billion and I feel like making it with you. Let's do it.
Well,
Which is pretty exciting, you know. Someone says that to you.
Yeah, somebody says that to you, you don't say no. You say, okay, let's go.
But you were offered a lot of jobs in radio when you left Metro.
I was approached immediately. Actually, it was during my suspension that offers came that said, hey, man, come on. Are you keen to jump the boat? I was like, you know, when you on suspension, you feel like I want to get back on air, especially when you know very well that the whole thing about suspension is just something that's way too.
Why did they suspend you again? They said that
I've always been the type of person that pushes boundaries, and when you're a maverick in certain spaces, it's difficult to conform, especially when you're a transformer. So my ideas aggravated certain people. And, you know, I was asked to cut off certain features on my show. I refused. I was asked to stop certain things on air. I refused. Because whatever touch goes, executes on air is commercially viable. And that's what a listener wants to hear. I don't want to be a textbook. I don't want to be scripted. And I was doing things that are unconventional. So I will do the same if I was myopic. I'll try to get rid of anybody with, you know, far lengthier horizon than I do, and you know, it's a sign of weakness, but it didn't hold me. Look at me today.
So they suspended you, and then they said to you, well, if you want to get back on air, these are the conditions,
something to that effect. I had to first of all remind myself it's my gift got me here, not how I capitulate to any form of
rules, regulations.
Rules and regulations, yeah.
You don't need that.
Man, I don't, I'm not a morning guy. You want to get deep, Gareth?
No, I don't want to get deep.
I don't wake up. You know, I don't do this.
People want to know what happened because they didn't even let you go on air after you resigned. You couldn't even say goodbye to your audience.
No, well, you know, it's just for me, I was like, okay, I look at, first of all, I'm sitting on this chair with offers, and why, when you're on demand, and you know very well that you can just jump anywhere, why you still allow yourself to go through what you're going through? So I spoke to friends, because I got friends in that building. I said, listen, I think I'm going to leave, and no hard feelings. I don't want to have any, you know, bad blood with you guys. Just let me go. It's clear that this is going to keep going on and on and on, because I'm not going to change being who I am. We're going to keep going on. It's going to get worse. So I think it's time to say goodbye. And you know, the offer was stay around for another year. I was like, whoo, another what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And also with so much change happening there, it didn't feel like it's always felt. You know, you think things are moving on.
I think you and I, one day we're going to get bored, and I'm going to like, Gareth, go back and be a CEO. I'll be a COO. Just for fun. Mm-hmm. I feel that we got that. Mm. We're just going to, you know, one day we're just going to wake up bored. Or maybe one day they're going to go private. I like to buy shares in SABC because I like to do certain things. Yeah, really.
Change.
I like to.
You'd like to make some changes.
I would love to. I'm waiting on that day. I text the COO the other day. And you know, I met with the Minister of Communications, Mama Faith. We were at the game together. And funny, we sat next to each other. And I'm like, do you ever think you're going to go private? Maybe, you know, 80% private? Because I got some investors. And she said, that's not a bad idea. I'm like, you're looking at one. So you know, for me, I respect, you know, business relationships. And I like the footprint that SABC has. I would like to buy a stake if they ever go private. Because I heard right now Paris Detail is about to bleed too, right?
Yeah.
How much the Treasury is holding back from ASCO?
Right.
Well, they're not loaning them any more money.
You see what I mean? So very soon you're going to get a text from Cloudy asking for money.
You mean the same kind of text that we get when we haven't paid our TV license?
No, different.
Beg the money. There's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
That's right. Now tell me about the Molefis.
You are hilarious.
I want to talk about the Molefis.
Gareth! But this is why I approached Gareth. I said, I want to work with you. Do you understand? Because he is not... Listen, 80% of the DJs right now, I don't care if you are at Prime Media or at SABC, before you go on air, you are scripted, you are monitored, they know what you're about to say, and they control what you say. Mm. If you disagree with me, you all got my number. Call me up right now, and I'm going to put you all on blast at 3 p.m. You know me, touch, never scared. Holla at your boy.
Tell me about the Molefis. I want to hear about your family, because there are a lot of... I met your uncle...
Phil Molefis. Phil
Molefis.
Yeah, you met him.
Who I like very much. But tell me about your dad and your mom and like your life up to now, because I don't know a whole lot about this.
Well, you know, I feel like I was on SABC 3 last night. Uh-huh. Same thing. I had an interview. They regard me as a honcho. They got this show. They had Herbert... What's the mayor's name again?
Herman
Mashab. Excuse me.
You were on the show with the mayor.
No. They identified 10 hunchos.
Okay.
And I was number 9 on that list. But I looked at them. I'm like, wow, all these people. And they ask questions about my family. This is just last night. I just did this interview. And I realized something that I never shared with the public is that I am not, whatever decisions I've made and people saying you work hard, you know, I'm a result of any good upbringing.
Yeah.
My mom and dad instilled the fear of God in me so much that even if when I'm in a club, the Holy Spirit catches me. Sometimes I'd be in the middle of doing something and I'm just reminded of what I've been through. And I'm just saying, you know, my if it wasn't for my grandfather who at 1948 left his home to start a ministry and build 66 churches across the country, I wouldn't be who I am today. I mean, the first man to pioneer a charismatic movement in South Africa and, you know, be one of the leading founders of AOG, which is today the largest churches across the country. And look at me. You'd be like, what went wrong with you?
No. I think this is something not to be underestimated. I mean, you know, my feeling on religion's your own business. You can do whatever you want.
Sure.
I'm not a big believer.
You're not a Jesus freak. Say it that way.
No, I'm not. But I do think that this is an important part of who you are.
You know, the other day I was sitting with Gareth, and there was we were in the middle of, I won't mention the details. It was a challenge, and we were at the restaurant, and no, we were in the boardroom, and I never expected Gareth to say this. He said to me, we overcame the situation at the time. He looked at me and he said, "Touch, your God is real." Amen. I said, wow, somebody's being converted. So maybe I'm in his life. Maybe God sent me in Gareth's life to win him to the cross.
He sent you to convert me. but you know what it is? It's, to me, if someone really, if they're informed by good things, whether it's a good upbringing, whether it's, you know, the kind of ethics and the right and wrongs that your parents instill in you, whether it's religion, whether it's just decent humanity in people.
Sure.
That sort of stuff shines through. And you've also had a lot of influences in your life. Like, I mean, you mentioned your grandfather who was so instrumental. But, you know, this Bishop Jones.
Sure.
Tell me about him.
I just got off the phone with him right now. Actually, he's with Grace Jones. Let me try to call
him. That's Grace Jones' brother.
Grace Jones' brother. Right? They're in L.A. Her younger brother is not feeling well, so they went to see him at hospital, and they were just calling to tell me that, hey man, you need to make your way to LA, because Grace flew in from, London.
But tell me about how you know Bishop Jones.
Let me put him on the phone now.
Let me get him on.
I want to put Grace. I was going to talk to Grace Jones on my phone.
All right.
But we might let her be on Gareth Cliff's show. Why
Let's
not?
See.
There we go. Fantastic. But now I need to tell him he's on radio. This is not fair.
No, you,
because he might pick up a call as a bishop and say, "What's up, nigga?" Because we talk like that. And
that's,
I don't want,
okay.
I don't want,
fine.
I don't want my conservative.
Oh,
thank God he didn't pick up.
Okay, he doesn't want to talk to you.
Saved by the voicemail.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna have
but
to.
But how do you
him.
How do you know Bishop Noel Jones? How did you get to know him? And what's the story? What's the connection?
So I left home very early in my life. Went to the U.S. and I was clear that I do not have room to complete my matric here, because I was not gonna get an exemption due to lack of my Afrikaans skills, because I had to have two languages.
Mm-hmm.
So my average in grade 10 for Afrikaans was 17.
Sure.
17%
like annual, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My highest mark I've ever had in Afrikaans was, I remember it was an unprepared speech, and I had 7%. And I was very excited. But then I also copied, I used to date this girl, Jessica. I dated her because she was, she was doing my Afrikaans homework. At that time.
So you dated her because she was helping you with Afrikaans.
Yeah, nothing happened between us. You know, I've always treated relationship like a transaction, you know.
Okay.
Like, you help me with my Afrikaans.
I can do things for you too.
I'll be the first hot chocolate in your life.
Oh, she was a white girl?
Yeah, yeah.
Her name was Jessica. So,
well, there's Jessica Motaung, you know.
And she's coming later on the show.
I believe so.
Oh,
whole,
lovely.
Yeah, the whole Kaiser Chiefs team is coming.
Ah.
Can we get back to my story to the U.S.?
Yes, please.
So, all right. So
how old were you when you went?
I was 15, turning 16, because I was running a confectionery at a school called General Smart in Vereeniging.
Okay.
And Mr. Bati was the principal then. So I used to have trucks delivering cakes. I ran all, man. I was selling all kinds. My blazers used to smell donuts. So I couldn't date this girl I used to like. She's married now with kids. It was embarrassing to date a guy that always smells donuts. But little did they know, this guy was making $4,000 a week.
Wow, at the age of 15.
Yeah, so I went to my grandma and I said, "How much have we saved so far?" She told me the number. I bought the ticket, got the visa. When I got there, you know, my family has been in exile, and they've already laid relationships that I just got to hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
So I went first thing at 5:30 in the morning. I landed in New York. I won't forget. I went straight to church. I said to my uncle, "Take me to the nearest church." And he took me to Greater Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. By Bishop Dees. When I got there, they said, "Fill up this form if you're a guest." I filled this form. I'm from South Africa. And when he was reading our guest, he said, "We have a guest from South Africa. Thabo Molefe. Come up to the front."
Thabo Molefe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like 97 at that time. And it was like, "Tell us about the President Mandela." And I gave a short testimony. And he was moved by my story that I literally just landed, haven't taken a shower, and I'm here to see where, you know, what God has in store for me. And he said to me, "Molefe, that sounds familiar. That's a friend. That sounds like a bishop of a good friend of mine." And I said, "Who?" Because I didn't even know where the Jones were. I knew they used to visit my grandfather when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Bishop Robert Jones, Noel Jones's father." I teared up. I said, you know Bishop Jones? I said, give me his number and address. I want to go see them. They know me. When I called Bishop Jones, I said, hey, I'm Bishop Malefic's son. He said, where are you? He said, I'm in Buffalo. Buffalo, New York. He's like, oh, you're 3 hours away from me. Come right now. I got there, went to my uncle after church. I said, I'm not even staying. He's like, where are you going? I was like, I made the connection with the Joneses. I finally reconnected with them. When I got there, Bishop Jones was like, saw me in 94 when Grace came here to judge Miss Universe.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they last saw me. Because Grace was a
and you were like a little kid.
I was a little kid. And he remembered me. And he says, so what are your plans? How long are you in the States for? I said, I'm here forever. I said, which hotel are you staying? He says, nowhere. And, you know, the next day I was at immigration getting adopted. 2 days later, I was getting my student visa. 3 days later, I was at Bishop Grimes High School in East Kirkville, Syracuse. And next minute, I was a captain of a soccer team. Next minute, I had a fake American accent. And the rest is history. God has been good to me. So people don't understand, man. When I go in on Monday replenishment, when I talk about God's grace, when I talk about things that I've been through, because
yeah.
I'm a true product of grace. You know, I moved from being an adopted child to being, you know, Grace Jones' brother, traveling with Noel Jones. And I remember just flying first class.
And this Bishop Noel Jones knows everybody. I mean, this guy is so connected. He has, like, Bill Clinton comes to his church.
Oh,
they've got, but you see, this is, you see, Mubs, how different we are.
Completely.
How, like,
completely.
We're almost opposite. And that kind of interested me. I've said it how many times on this show. When I sit down with someone who I agree with, it's boring.
Yeah. You want to be challenged with different views and opinions and hopefully learn something new, take away something new from that interaction.
Damn straight.
And
this guy's very different to me.
Well, so that's for me. It's something that inspires. I look at people today and I ask myself, why aren't people inspired?
Didn't your dad? He had a lot to do with some jazz musicians when he was in America, right?
Oh, definitely. You know, I've been in a music family, and that to me, I didn't have the privilege to play an instrument. But I had the privilege of making business out of out of making money out of anyone who can play an instrument.
Right.
I've always loved staging concerts. I've always loved, you know, doing.
You just put together a thing, anybody who was there will know, called the Jazz Epistles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he got Jonas Gwangwa.
Yes.
And Hugh Masekela.
Yes.
And Abdullah Ibrahim into one room for the first time since the 1950s.
Jeepers.
These three, they actually had nothing to do with each other. They didn't even like each other. And Touch brought them together under one roof to perform for presidents, celebrities, former presidents, people who are who were just blown away by the fact that these three men were finally on stage together again.
Yep, that's true. It's when we approached, the Jazz Epistle was last seen in 1959 and had to go to Uncle Hugh, Abdullah, and Dr. Jonas Gwangwa. But thanks to Gary Hallow, because he was close to Abdullah Ibrahim. Mm-hmm. I'm close to Hugh Masekela, but both of us didn't know Jonas Gwangwa. So he says, you go speak to Jonas and get him on. And Jonas Gwangwa at that time was not prepared to even see the guy's eye to eye, for whatever reasons, I don't know. So I get to his house, it was 2 p.m., it was 1:30. At 3 o'clock, I had to be on air the other time at Metro, right? So I arrive at his house. My name is Touch. I'm doing this Jazz Epistle. I'd like you to come on board. He say, Vatke NJ me jazz. Yeah? Mm. It's a lie, DJ. Mm. Yo, I'm like, this old man, why are you so angry at life? I'm like...
He didn't want to talk about it.
No. He says to me, yeah, you get next me jazz, Jay. You must spiel da bit I... Station, you know how, you know.
Yeah. Your Afrikaans is still shitty, by the way.
Yeah. So, no, I can speak better Afrikaans now. So, I left so depressed. And at 3:30, his son calls me. He says, Uncle Jonas wants to meet you after 6. And I went there with a duffel bag. For sauce purposes, I won't mention how much. And when I got there, he said to me, I think I'll consider this offer. And he did. When he said yes, I told everybody, guys, the Jazz Epistle is complete because he's the founding member.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like trying to do a Destiny's Child reunion without Beyonce.
Mm. Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Won't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did the other two think of this? They couldn't believe you've actually talked him into it.
I couldn't believe he's on. And I captured the first picture when Abdullah landed from Munich, met, hugging you and Jonas, Uncle Jonas, excuse me, at the same time. And that picture to me was so priceless. I even got a call from former President Thabo Mbeki saying, I want to congratulate you. It went like this.
Yeah, he...
you've done what I couldn't fathom in my lifetime.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, he managed to do all kinds of things at the AU, but he couldn't get these three jazz musicians together.
So he came to the show.
To wait for you to get that right.
Yeah, so he came to the show. Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa came to the show. Former President Khalema Motlanthe came to the show. Everybody did. Thing. Pravin Gordhan came to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when, and I still said horrendous things when I saw that you were on those eTOL ads. Do you remember, Mubs?
Yes.
I said, I can't believe this guy sold out like this and done the eTOL ads. What happened there with? Did Sanral just offer you a shitload of money?
Of course. I don't even have an e-tag. I lied.
You are.
Hold on. Go down to my car right now.
Yeah.
Go check. That's me. That's me on the convertible, the white convertible. That's me.
You were the last guy laughing. You don't even have an e-tag, and these people still gave you money. You're okay, like,
Let me ask you something. Yeah. I got two boys. They both go to private schools.
Yeah.
Okay. There's things I'll do because it's not gonna hurt me. It's not gonna change the price of milk. So. You call me, I've got an offer for you. Why not?
Yeah. You see, the thing is, a lot of us were saying like, yeah, and I can't believe they did this. Minitla mini kanyimbao. But the fact of the matter is, had those offers been made to us, we would have been like, how much
guys,
did you say?
And then you would consider brands. It. Let me tell you something. We are commercial brands, okay? Some of us...
Thabo Molefe. Like many South Africans, I was quite reluctant at the call for us to pay.
No, you can't press stop.
For eTOL.
I just want to hear it again.
I at first, but it makes sense. I understand it's not an easy thing. Why am I paying for the roads that have always been there? We enjoy better roads today.
I hope you didn't supply the music.
Conceptualized a better South Africa that's going to work beyond 2020. My compliance was not government.
And you didn't even comply, you son of a bitch.
I have.
Look at you.
But Gareth... I have more than one car. Maybe one of them has one. I don't know. How many cars have you seen me in, Gareth?
A few. I can't even count.
Do you think I check all of them if they got e-tag? I don't know.
All right. Now, what's the plan with your show? Come, let's get into the exciting stuff.
I'm not going to talk much about it. I have none. I've been working on a few things. And I just decided I'm going to go on air and... Just be me and give people what they know. I would be lying if I tell them things that, you know, I'm just gonna go in at 3 o'clock and I'm doing a show with everybody today. Call me up, tweet, Instagram. It's free flow.
You wanna give away 10 grand?
We got some friends coming. Thank you. We got some friends coming in. We got people that I'll be interviewing. But we're going to be giving away every hour 10 G's, brand new phone. And I'm introducing the biggest competition ever to hit radios.
Mm-hmm.
Should I announce it now?
No. Keep it for your show. Okay? Keep people excited. Okay.
But I'll throw it in this way.
Give us a little teaser.
Go get a passport. Go get a passport. October 12th.
Mm.
October 12th. Let me record myself. I'm gonna let me put this on camera so that I can send it to the artist manager so he can see I'm working. I'm recording myself.
All right.
Yeah. October 12th, Touch Central. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard us for the first time. You make sure you got your passport because you are coming with me on October 12th to a Drake concert.
Mm.
I think you just gave it all away.
Not even.
I think you just told the whole story.
Not even.
No, you mean there's more?
That's.
All right.
There was just status. We're going to get into the main course.
Okay.
Go to Home Affairs, get your passport.
I think Michael Flex just passed out.
He did. I looked at
Flex. He's
the biggest Drake fan in the world.
Just to clarify, are we talking Drizzy Drake? October's very own?
October 12th, Drizzy Drake concert. I won't mention what else goes with it too, because we have an amazing network partner who just called me as I was parking the car.
Mm.
They said, "Listen, because yesterday I went to a meeting at Ogilvy, right? I'm loving this. I'm giving people real life.
By the way, this is where I get nervous because I'm like, oh God, he's going to do something now that I don't know about yet.
No, I went to a meeting. I called you. I called you. I was like, Gareth, we have a meeting with Ogilvy, and went for a pitch. And this morning you call me at 8 o'clock and says, okay, we on board. Yeah, we'll tell you who the network is. They said, don't even meet with anybody else. We are on board.
All right.
And I'm excited because we want to cover the experience. We want to shoot it. I want the winner to, you know, load the content, video, everything, so that people can actually see when Touch Central gives away a prize like this. It is real.
What the experience is like.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. Listen, I'm very excited about you being on today at 3. And I know that mornings are not for you, so I'm glad that you were here this morning. This is why it's going to work out well, because I'm going to be here in the mornings. He's going to be here in the afternoons. We're going to do the work between 9 and 3. And then I'm out of here. then I'm going
to
go home.
I cannot wait to hear the rest of our lineup today. Shout out to O'Neill and Dineo Ranaka. Man,
actually,
I want to see how those two are going to have an orgasm on air.
I think so. Yeah. O'Neill's going to pop by just now, and we're going to chat to him and find out what he's got planned for his show. And Dineo and O'Neill will be on at 1 o'clock. Aria and Kat Katlejo, they'll be on from 11. But this morning, we're going to carry on until 10, just to give you an extra taste. Because starting Monday, Lerato Chavalala is going to be doing her show between 9 and 11.
Oh,
and
how crazy is this?
She's just written an incredible book. She gets a lot of people very hot under the collar.
True.
She's very opinionated. She's not scared to call a spade a spade. In fact, she calls it many worse things than that. You know what I'm talking about.
Shout out to Maps Maponyani. Just say congratulations, guys.
Very nice.
So Touch Central is trending number 6.
Only number 6. I'm kind of disappointed. We should be at number 1. Everybody, let's get that up to number 1, please. Let's stop messing around. This is not good enough. We need to be at number 1. If we aren't at number 1 by 9 o'clock, I'm shutting it down.
Okay.
So don't mess around. Come on. Let's all get on to this. And by the way, you will have a chance to win another 10,000 rand in the next couple of minutes, too. So stick around for that.
You got 10 more G's?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And there are a lot of people who are posting pictures of their screen, and I want you to do that, too, with the Touch Central app on it. If you've got Touch Central on your home screen on your smartphone, you are in the pound seats to be a winner this morning. 10 grand giveaway coming up. TouchCentral.fm. Download the app if you haven't already. It's available on the Apple App Store and on the Google Play Store. And there are some of our foot soldiers at intersections across Johannesburg, across Durban, across Cape Town right
Pretoria.
Now. If you spot them anywhere, what do you have to do?
Call us right away.
0861-555-189. All right, there's your chance to win. Touch, gonna get ready for your show.
I'm happy.
No pressure, dude.
Thank you, sir.
Back on the air after 2 months.
Woo! And he has been missed.
Yeah.
Have you got your horns ready?
Yeah.
You got the horns?
I got 3 words ready. I got bombs ready. I got the horns ready. I got the cars, you know, the whole revving. It's a drive show. So you got to go in. You got to go heavy. So, you know, the GTs are already warming up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a game. I cannot wait till, you know, we got Touch Central Airline.
It's just slowly. Let's go slow here, please. Like your uncle Popo Molefe said, you are the accelerator and I'm the brake.
The clutch. CliffCentral.com.